are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What's happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Monday, June the 29th, and a new Piston along with Mock Draft Monday. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, the sports writer here in Detroit City covering sports gambling for PlayMichigan.com, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for spreading the word about the show and staying with us. During the shutdown of the NBA, which is no longer, the NBA is alive and well as the contracts are moving around. We're going to talk about that today. And play coming up in the league a month and a day from today. That's right. Get ready. NBA is coming back, but not for your Detroit Pistons. Today we're going to be talking about the newest Detroit Piston and also going to go into our weekly Mock Draft Monday segment. Today we're going to take a closer look at the Oklahoma City picks in totality of the Troy Weaver era, some interesting trends and through lines that stood out. And then later on, we'll maybe look at some of the players who might fit the archetype of what Troy Weaver and Sam Presti looked at in Oklahoma City, and also give you some of the facts on what the Justin Patton might mean for the Pistons' current roster, maybe some conclusions and some speculation a little bit later. Always love the speculation. Here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook. @SCHOCH, another underscore after that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. But maybe I'm a bit excited about an unfounded excitement in this move that the Pistons made on Friday. But anytime you get a guy who finished his third year, still young, still 23, former first-round pick, a near-lottery pick, albeit with some injury issues that we'll talk about, Justin Patton is the newest member of the Detroit Pistons. He signed with the team on Friday. The details from the contract is he's basically getting a signing bonus this year of $480,000 for the rest of this season. Of course, he's not going to be playing for the Pistons this year. John Hollinger of The Athletic said that it's about half of what the Pistons had left out of their mid-level exception. So the possibilities that they could make another move out there. And notable also, by the way, that John Hollinger was the one who broke that story that right when they hired Troy Weaver, that John Hollinger is suddenly breaking stories. So file that in the back of your mind when Hollinger talks Pistons from here on out. Keith Smith also reporting that the deal is a fully non-guaranteed $1.76 million deal for next season, which would be the league minimum. So basically gets a training camp invite, a little bit of a bonus to come in, of a six-figure bonus to come in and come in for that tryout. And if you make the team, you get that league minimum $1.76 million for next year. So a little bit of a boost for Justin Patton's bank account now, and a little bit of a nice, non-guaranteed, talented player coming in to training camp next season for the Pistons. Also notable about that $500,000 left about if they want to do another similar type of deal the rest of this season, quote-unquote. The sacrificial lamb for this one appears to be Dante Hall, who coincidentally was also named second-team All-G League over the weekend as well. Rookie out of Alabama, undrafted, and had a really good season for the Grand Rapids Drive and showed some energy and competence defensively in a short stint with the Pistons this year. He was on his second 10-day contract, but that expired as NBA contracts are now unfrozen as the season has, quote-unquote, resumed already this year. But for now, we're going to say goodbye to Dante Hall, although you wonder if he feels a little bit of loyalty to the organization. Maybe he comes back to the Drive. Obviously did well there under Donnie Tindall, but this is not Troy Weaver's organization anymore, right? Or it is Troy Weaver's. It's all sorts of confusing questions that we'll face going forward. If he has the loyalty to the old group that's no longer the one pushing these kind of buttons, obviously Dante Hall's future will be a question we'll take a look at this summer too. If they want to add someone else with that $500K going forward, they got to find a roster spot for it. But they could go ahead and cut John Henson or Brandon Knight, someone like that. Kind of no skin off their back with those guys, but we'll see what happens there. Back to more about Justin Patton. He was a project pick that was in the mix for the Pistons in the 2017 draft when the Pistons picked 12. He is a 6'11 center. He played 1 year at Creighton alongside Khyree Thomas of the Detroit Pistons. Justin was the Big East Freshman of the Year in his one season for Omaha team in the Big East there, playing in his hometown of Omaha, Nebraska. Had a 13-6 for Greg McDermott and the Blue Jays, 8 for 15 from three in that year as well. I saw him play one game in college. Really big, long guy. Just kind of that physical freak type of athlete out there, the Mo Bamba type, who's just a big, imposing presence. Takes up a lot of floor with that big wingspan. Patton just turned 23 years old. Khyree Thomas just turned 24 years old. So Khyree's 1 year older, despite being 1 year younger in terms of his NBA life. And so Khyree was a three-year guy at Creighton. Both those guys played at public schools in North Omaha and both came up from the AAU program, the Crusaders in Omaha as well. Pistons obviously bypassed Justin Patton in the draft, taking Luke Kennard at 12 instead of Justin Patton and Donovan Mitchell and Bam Adebayo as well, in case you forgot. But Patton ended up going 16 to the Chicago Bulls that year, but that was the night of the Jimmy Butler trade. They were actually picking for Minnesota. So the Bulls actually swapped picks with the Timberwolves, moved up to 7, getting Lauri Markkanen, and Patton goes to Minnesota at 16. He broke his left foot before summer league play began. Was ready, though, in early December to start his G League season, but didn't make his NBA debut until April. Played one NBA game for Minnesota, but did play 38 G League games that year, 12-5 in his rookie season in the G League, and did have another surgery on the left foot after that season to kind of get the recovery going. But before year two with Minnesota, he broke the other foot, the right foot. So he put that second season in jeopardy. And while he was injured, he was traded alongside Jimmy Butler once again, going from Minnesota to Philly this time for what turned out to be a pretty weak package centered around Robert Covington and Dario Saric. And because of the injury in year two, Patton doesn't make his debut with the G League team till February. He did play three games with Philly that year, waived after the season, but played 11 G League games for the Delaware team, 8.5 rebounds with that team. And then Troy Weaver in Oklahoma City picks him up before this past season, played five games for them. So with his three NBA teams, he's played one game in year one, three games in year two, and five games in year three. So if you're a math major, you might figure that he's going to play seven games with the Pistons this year in year four. But he was able to put in a full season in the G League, pretty much 23 G League games with the Oklahoma City team, 12-8 there. He scored 45 points with 14 rebounds and 9 assists in his final game with the Oklahoma City Blue before he was dealt once again. You can find those highlights all over Twitter as Pistons fans are salivating over that singular game that he played there. He was traded for the third time in his career near the deadline this year to the Dallas Mavericks with cash and was released right away. Oklahoma City basically buys Isaiah Roby in that deal, and then Dallas cuts Patton out of work for about a month, but was picked up in the G League by the Wisconsin Herd, the Bucks system, although no tie to the Bucks. It was a kind of one of those floating free agents in the G League. 12-7 in a short stint there. So in his three G League seasons, he's played 79 games, so pretty much a full NBA calendar there. 12 points, 6 boards, and 2 assists. Did step up his rebounding this year, but again, battled injuries the whole time these last three seasons. In his career in the G League, he's shooting 30% from three. Some potential there. But the feet, you know, the feet are the most important thing to stay healthy for him to have success. This challenge is more at the feet, pardon the pun, of Bernard Condivo, Jim Schiller, and Arne Kander of the Detroit Pistons. Although I suppose maybe Weaver has the autonomy to bring in his own medical people. I haven't heard anything about that. I do doubt it, but that's just another complication of keeping kind of the old boys club of Ed Stefanski and Arne Tellem around like the Pistons did. And just one way that Troy Weaver may or may not, and it sounds like may not from what I've not heard about the medical people, but that Weaver won't have the autonomy for bringing his own folks there. Although, you know, maybe that's something that he doesn't care about, and maybe that's not something that bothers him. And hey, he didn't maybe know of his own medical folks that they wanted to bring in. But as whole, though, you got Patton, Blake Griffin, Derrick Rose, obviously guys whose first, second, or third lines of their career obituaries We'll talk about injuries unless Justin Patton's able to stay healthy and turn things around, possibly getting his first real chances for action here in the red, white, and blue this season. And, of course, that hankers up and conjures up images of another guy who got a similar type of opportunity with the Pistons last year, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on. But first, up next, we're going to talk about Troy Weaver's draft picks on a big picture sense. We talked about them kind of blow by blow last week, but we're going to look at the whole tapestry today, the whole painting. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But hey, the Locked On Podcast Network stands against racism and social injustice. That's why we, the hosts, are making personal donations to local and national organizations that are fighting for change. And in the month of June, Locked On is matching the total of all host donations up to an additional $10,000. To make your own donation along with us, please visit lockedonpodcasts.com/Black Lives Matter. Got to tell you guys about the most useful app on my phone. It's all about efficiency, isn't it? It's hard to find the time to read and learn more, especially when we got our lives going on, vacations this summer. Well, I got the perfect way to get yourself a little bit more rounded of an individual this summer, and that's by Blinkist. Blinkist is really unique, and it works on your phone, your tablet, or your web browser. Blinkist takes the best key takeaways, the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books and condenses them down into just 15 minutes that you can read or listen to. Some of the Blinkist titles that are out there, The Sports Gene, Inside the Science of Extraordinary Athletic Performance by David Epstein. If you want to figure out why certain front offices are making the decisions that they make. Also, the Tiger Woods book by Jeff Benedict is out there, and The Secrets of Power Negotiating. That's right. Maybe that'll help out in the personal relationships, maybe the marriage, maybe the raises in your employment situation. That book by Roger Dawson, that's out there on Blinkist as well. With Blinkist, you get unlimited access to read or listen to a massive library of condensed nonfiction books, all the books you want, all for one low price. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/NBA, try it free for 7 days, and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/NBA. Start your free 7-day trial, and you'll also save 25% off, but only when you sign up at Blinkist, Blinkist.com/NBA.
Yes!
We're a little bit later on, we're going to break down the macro into the micro and see who some of the draft trends might point to. Stock going up, stock going down in terms of players the Pistons might be taking a look at. And also what the Justin Patton signing might mean for the Pistons and a certain unrestricted free agent that's a hot topic this offseason for the Pistons. But last week's episode, we kind of rehashed a lot of the 12 years of Troy Weaver with the Oklahoma City organization. The new Pistons general manager is the decision maker right now, as far as we know, with the Detroit Pistons. So we took a look back year by year and talked about who they got and who they missed on and all those kind of things. So check back with last Monday's episode for that. But we wanted to draw some kind of macro numbers and some kind of macro conclusions of what types of players and what kinds of draft picks that Troy Weaver and Sam Presti made in Oklahoma City. Starting in 2008 with Russell Westbrook at number 4 coming out of UCLA. That was actually picked by the Seattle Supersonics before they moved a few days later to Oklahoma City. So Troy Weaver was essentially hired by the Seattle Supersonics before they moved shortly after that. But Arn Tellem talked a little bit on the press conference introducing Troy Weaver about how Troy Weaver was a big-time proponent for Russell Westbrook and number 4. Now, you got to give credit to Sam Presti and, of course, Troy Weaver and Oklahoma City or Seattle for making that pick. That was not an expected pick at number 4. But, yes, Russell Westbrook was still a top 10 prospect. But to pick him number 4 was a little bit of a surprise, and you got to give him some credit for that. However, Arn Tellem, the former agent of Russell Westbrook, I just kind of suspect that given the fact that he said in that quote, Arn Tellem, that not a lot of people were looking at him as a top 20 prospect. That's just not true. A little bit of hyperbole done there, and maybe even the fact that Troy Weaver was the biggest proponent or the biggest cheerleader in the front office for Oklahoma City. Is that to be believed as much as possible, given that Arn's obviously trying to gas up the guy he's introducing to the media and all to the public as well? But anyway, good pick, no matter how you slice it. Serge Ibaka, a second first-round pick taken in 08 as well. Good pick there. And a great pick as well in 2009 with James Harden at number 3. Not the slam dunk no-brainer that you might think here as we sit in the year 2020. But Certainly a guy who was a top 10 prospect again that the Oklahoma City Thunder jumped on at number 3 when a lot of people were detractors, didn't think that he would be a very good player. That's the good. There's a lot of bad in here too, including combining two late first-round picks to move up to number 10 for Cole Aldrich in 2010, a solid pick in 2011 for Reggie Jackson, a bust in 2012 for Perry Jones, a decent pick for Steven Adams. I'm sorry, pretty good. I shouldn't say decent, but pretty good pick for Steven Adams in 2013. Andre Roberson, the second pick of that first round as well for the Oklahoma City Thunder when all is said and done with the trades. 2014, the Thunder walk away with Mitch McGarry and Josh Huestis, two big busts there. Another bust in 2015 with Cameron Payne, the point guard there. 2016, they trade into the draft when they didn't have any picks and got Domantas Sabonis in a trade from Orlando, so a real nice pickup there. 2017, Terrence Ferguson, we're going to give him the incomplete, young guy coming out of Australia who played one season there, kind of an unknown. And then when Weaver was promoted to VP in 2018, the Thunder didn't have a first-round pick then. In 2019, last year, picked up Darius Bazley, so a project player there, late first round. Obviously, a lot of these picks are late mid-first round type of picks, and the Pistons are, as for right now, picking very high, like they did when Troy Weaver in Oklahoma City joined that team. So a little bit of parallels in terms of where he's starting with his new team from 2008 and 2020. But some interesting notes of all those picks to kind of bring these all together for a macro sense for you guys. Of the 11 last first-round picks of the Thunder, and I'm talking about the guys they walked away from draft night with, not guys that they drafted for other teams, but of the 11 last first-round picks that the Thunder made in the Troy Weaver era, four of them were centers, kind of against the conventional wisdom that centers don't have a lot of value in the NBA. Now, only one of those has been since 2015, so you could kind of argue that the game has changed even more since that time in the last 5 years. So one in those last 5 years he's ended up with. But still interesting to me, four centers in the last 11 years. Now, I know that things are a little bit different when you have Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, and James Harden already in the backcourt and on the wing, so to speak, for Durant. You don't need as much help on the perimeter. But I think it's worth noting for sure, especially the fact that Troy Weaver and Sam Presti made a lot of deals on trade night as well. Wouldn't be surprised to see the Pistons wheeling and dealing, including a trade up where they packaged two late picks in the first round for Cole Aldrich. So they identified their guy who was a center, and they went out and picked him there in the first round. Also, not afraid to take non-shooters, athletes, guys who jump off the board with some of the measurables, thinking about guys like Terrence Ferguson and Darius Bazley there. Non-shooters, good athletes, both at 30% this past season for the Thunder. Wasn't afraid to take those kind of guys that maybe had that were missing that most important skill in today's NBA in terms of the three-point shooting or jump shoot, space the floor abilities there. Also, Josh Huestis, one of the busts that they picked, he was thought to be a defensive prospect as well who had shooting potential, and that didn't work. But a four-year college role player right there out of Stanford as well, a little bit of anomaly there with a four-year player being picked sometime in these last few years. Also, Michigan fans, of course, remember Mitch McGarry very well. Couldn't get out of his own way off the court, but also notable when thinking about Troy Weaver's quotes from last week that you're drafting the person and not the player, although he was talking specifically about those top 10 picks, and we know that the Thunder certainly hit it out of the park with Durant before Troy Weaver was there, but then Russell Westbrook and James Harden early on in the draft, so a nice little track record there with those real high picks, which what the Pistons should have, certainly a top 9 pick that they will have this year. But everyone wants to talk point guards with these guys in the draft, and we know there's some point guard prospects out there with LaMelo Ball, Killian Hayes, Cole Anthony, Tyrese Halliburton as well. But let's look at the point guards that the Oklahoma City drafted in the Troy Weaver era. Of course, Russell Westbrook, Reggie Jackson, who we're all very familiar with here in Piston land, and Cameron Payne. So certainly Westbrook and Jackson scoring point guards, combo guards that could fill it up there. Not afraid to shoot. Cameron Payne, Of course, the original Murray State point guard, but unlike Ja Morant, the small school thing didn't really translate there, so that didn't really work out. But the unproven nature of Cameron Payne, you could kind of see a Killian Hayes parallel there in terms of coming out of France, LaMelo Ball parallel there, coming out of Australia and all the other places that LaMelo Ball has traveled throughout his career as well. So, yeah, the archetypes are pretty much all over the place, but we'll talk about how they relate to this year's draft prospects. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. But hey, got to tell you guys all about Built Bar. Just perfect because you know you're trying to get back to the gym whenever those open up here in the state of Michigan. So you're going to try to, like me, transition back to being a little bit more healthy, getting the weight back down. That's right. You're probably going to be hitting the beach sometime soon. You got to get that body right. And Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever, which is the best part, how tasty they are. The protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, 100% chocolate, covers these magnificent creatures. Soft and easy to chew as well. But the second best part, but maybe the most important part, I guess, we'll compromise and say that, Built Bars are healthy. They are just great for the health-conscious guy. You can lose or maintain the weight while indulging in a delicious treat. I'm eating these things every day. I used to be very disciplined and eat just one a day, but now it's kind of like holds you over for the meal, maybe a little bit of a meal replacement throughout the day as well. Get the smoothies, get the Built Bars, kind of holds you over. You can skip one meal, be a little cheating, but in a good way. These are low calorie, low sugar, but also high protein and high fiber. So fills you up, but it doesn't make you feel like you're filled up, but it takes care of all your needs in terms of the nutrition and health. I'll tell you about the peanut butter brownie one. 20 grams of protein, 170 calories, that's it. But also 3 grams of sugar and 3 grams of net carbs as well. So doesn't get those carbs. Those are the things you don't want these days, as you probably and hopefully already know. But go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get $10 off your first order. All sorts of closeout sales as well. Check those out. But use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. All right, so when taking a look and taking some time and thinking about the Thunder and what they've done for the past 12 years, how does that relate to what Troy Weaver might do this offseason, whose stock is up and whose stock is down from a draft perspective when thinking about Troy Weaver and how it relates to the Pistons situation. Stock up, I'm going to say halfway up a tick for Onyeka Okongwu and James Wiseman, centers who Troy Weaver has shown that he's not afraid to take a center in his time with Oklahoma City. Though, you know, Patton is a bit of a project center, but it's tough to think of Justin Patton, a non-guaranteed minimum signing, having much of an impact on the machinations of the Pistons roster or how they're going to approach the rebuild. I just don't think it's more of a flyer. Although, yes, it might be taking Dante Hall's spot in the organization, or maybe even Thon Maker might be his death knell there. But you got to believe the Pistons still interested in bringing in some kind of five. I know they really didn't do that last year, but even if Christian Wood comes back, you'd like to think, you know, Christian Wood might play some 5 minutes, and certainly Justin Patton might play some five, but you'd like to think that a veteran center in the league might come in here if the Pistons have any intention of being a competitive team next year. Who knows? Maybe even John Henson fits that bill if Troy Weaver and the boys like what they've seen out of him. I would also like to think that the stock of Isaac Okoro goes up in terms of the Pistons possibly nabbing him. The Thunder's shown the propensity for taking those non-shooting athletes, guys that you hope can grow into an offensive player, guys that you hope can become that guy. I would also like to say that the stock goes up for a point guard such as Cole Anthony. That's right. If the Pistons stay at five or maybe even fall down 6, 7, 8, 9, Cole Anthony of North Carolina is a guy who came into his only season in Chapel Hill with a very high expectations, very highly rated player out of high school. I didn't like what I saw in North Carolina. I know you guys probably don't either. But the propensity for drafting Russell Westbrook and Reggie Jackson, certainly not putting Cole Anthony on the level of Russell Westbrook and maybe not even on Reggie Jackson either. But these are scoring guards. And also Cole Anthony, very high ceiling as well. Maybe not very high ceiling, but higher ceiling than maybe his stats at North Carolina indicated. And also not great efficiency. So obviously Troy Weaver's got to feel good about what Russell Westbrook was able to do with his career, despite not being an efficient player. So the stat geeks might tell you to get those very efficient players, but Cole Anthony not being one of those guys, and the Pistons organization under Troy Weaver maybe not being one that would cross him off the list because of some poor shooting numbers along the way. But Justin Patton, interesting to think about is the Christian Wood situation. That maybe they're trying to do basically what they did with Christian Wood. Now, Justin Patton was available because of injury concerns, and Christian Wood was available because he never really got a shot and maybe had some off-the-court type of stuff that he was working through throughout his young career. But guys that are still young, I know that Christian Wood's a little bit older than Justin Patton is at this point, and Christian was last year, but guys that are very talented, guys that are first-round type of talents, guys that a lot of people believed in terms of their talent throughout the NBA, I think that Justin Patton is that kind of guy. So does that mean that Christian Wood, who's now a 1 year established as a player in the NBA, does that do anything or change the outlook for him being brought back to the Pistons? I don't know. I don't think so. I think that Troy Weaver's thoughts on Christian Wood are going to be what they're going to be. We don't know him. We won't know him until he's back with the Pistons or signing with another team. But what about the possibility of a sign-and-trade is something that I haven't really heard mentioned along with Christian Wood. We know, of course, that the Knicks are out there. The Hornets are out there. They've got cap room, and they could possibly offer up a contract bigger than what the Pistons might be willing to stomach. But what if Christian Wood and his agent go out there and find a team that wants to sign him, and they come up with a contract figure that works for them, and to make the cap space available, the Pistons take on some dead money or some bad money or some otherwise type of contracts from that team to free up the money to bring Christian Wood aboard there. And maybe those players you get back have enough potential, or maybe those expiring contracts, maybe they're 1 year left on those deals, maybe that's enough to take on to let that team make that deal and to fulfill that deal for them, as long as you're getting something back. Better to lose him with something as opposed to losing him for nothing. It's just a thought that was brought up to me by one of the listeners recently that I wanted to pass along, the idea that maybe Christian Wood is a sign-and-trade possibility for the Pistons. And even if they don't believe that he's an $8 million or $11 million per year type of player, and some other team does, then maybe they aren't stuck holding the bag and stuck getting nothing for one of the more obvious success stories that this front office has had in these past 2 years. Something to think about with the Christian Wood situation. But that wraps up this edition of Locked on Pistons. Now, tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked on NBA. Have a great day. This is your host, Matt Shook, saying we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.